Okay, let's give it a whirl. And then we'll see what happens. Well, hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells, and welcome back to the Adventurers Anonymous podcast and to a section we like to call Off the Wagon. And back this week, by popular demand, we have the crafty croc himself, Mr. Matarant. How you doing, sir?
Hello. I'm good.
Woohoo! Well, last time we talked, you were more than a little bit rude about Chris Neal. So I thought this time we would take it away from Belsia and make it about your good self.
Okay.
A topic close to your heart. Quickfire questions, because we are short on time. Mr. Matt Durant, what is your earliest memory?
I can very vaguely remember being like in a kind of childhood home, and my granddad was coming to like take my cot away.
Wow.
But it's like a memory I've reminded myself of so much that it's probably not the actual original memory anymore. It's probably something that...
Had your parents rented the cot off your granddad and then stopped paying? Was he coming to...
Well, he was he was famous as a cot landlord. He'd rent out cots to all the people in Norwich. If you couldn't pay, he'd take it away.
Bloody hell! So you defaulted on your cot payments, and your grandfather came and snatched away your cradle.
So in flesh and blood, no, he was a nice man.
Okay, crashing on because we will run out of time. What was your gateway into geekdom? Everyone starts somewhere. Where did you begin?
The air that I breathed.
Is your dad a Vulcan?
If it wasn't Star Wars, it was
a porn parody.
the triple X Star Wars.
Yeah.
Can we edit in an amusing name later?
Sure. Yeah, something about black hole. What was it then, if it wasn't Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica?
Maybe Transformers?
Oh,
or, Transformers. Weirdly, the 1995 Judge Dredd, which was a terrible film, but also great.
Yes, with Sylvester Stallone. Yeah.
I am the law. Lay down your weapons.
It was all right. Yeah. Rob Schneider was okay. I remember being very excited about that film, and I also remember the outfit was made by someone like Armani or Gucci or Versace.
Gucci, I think Versace,
made Judge Dredd's outfit, hence he has a bright gold codpiece, which, I mean, to be fair, he did in the original comics. It just doesn't look very scary. I far prefer the Alex Garland version that was not well received and never spawned a sequel with Carl Urban.
I think that says a lot about me. I like both Dredd films for very different reasons, but I think they're both good movies.
Okay. If we don't crash on, the other annoying members of this podcast will join us, and then we'll have to call this short. The next question, what's your guilty pleasure, Matt Durant?
In general?
Come on, you've got to make an admission here. It can be as horrible as you like.
Gosh, how guilty can I possibly be? I think reality TV shit like 90 Day Fiancé.
Really? This is the only place you're going to get that exclusive. Jesus Christ, I did not have you as a reality TV buff. Okay.
That's me, Judge Dredd and 90 Day Fiancé.
Absolutely. The Real Housewives of Mega City 1. See what I did there. What smell, image, or sound triggers nostalgia for you?
The sound of, you know, when you're in Japan and you can hear the pedestrian crossings play a little song.
Really?
Yeah. There was one outside where I lived for 3 months. Maybe we can drop in a link to that. I don't know if they still do it. That will immediately take me back to.
Do you hear that noise often? I've never heard that noise. We'll have to ping it in here. But does it pop up in everyday life?
It really doesn't. But when I hear it in my head, it fills me with natsukashi, okay. As the Japanese say.
What do they say? Sorry?
Natsukashi.
What does that mean?
It's like nostalgic, but it's like a...
Oh.
It's a useful word because it's like saying... Ah, how nostalgic.
Mm.
But it sounds, it's one word, so it's a bit more convenient.
Absolutely love that. One more question, Matt Durant. One more, just one more thing before Chris Neal interrupts us. What is your message to the listeners?
Always wear underwear.
Wise words. Prevents chafing, for sure. Yeah. And skid wear.
Oh, invest in good woolen undergarments.
Woolen undergarments? No.
Yeah. Keep that sweat away.
Ew. It's a rub factor 7. All right. Mr. Matt Durant, thank you very much. That's been Off the Wagon. It's been a total pleasure. And
thanks.
I'm just going to have the sound of a Japanese level crossing pinging in my mind.
Let me see if I can dig that up now.
All right. Hello, Mr. Neil. How are you doing?
Good. I'm very good. Thank you. Sorry I interrupted your your alone time.
You would not be surprised to know we had technical issues, so we were late starting. It's my fault.
Ha!
Yeah. But I will be getting to you in the weekly rotation soon, Mr. Neil, so I will be asking you these questions.
Can we do one where I interview you instead?
Yes. All the yeses.
What secrets are you hiding?
I'm not wearing trousers. And that's a web exclusive.
Are we recording? Are we recording? Are we recording?
Yeah, but I edit this thing.
Don't you dare edit this out.
Right, on with the show. Oh, the drama, the tension. Oh, drama, drama. Tension, tension, tension.
Big swings. We love to see it.
I love this. Could this be the beginning of something or the end of something?
The beginning of the end.
Or just the beginning of the end. I'm loving these big choices everyone's making. I'm also loving the big glasses of wine you're lugging.
Got to be done. It's stressful, man.
It's got to be done.
I'm going to have to turn up on work calls tomorrow and be like, I had to try and kill my best friend.
Just try?
Last night. Oh, when I jumped the shark too early. I had to try and kill my best friend. And they're like, oh my God, what the hell happened? And I'll be like, oh yeah, like my D&D character had to try and kill his best friend. They'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about, you idiot? It's a game. And I'll be like, well, it's not.
We both know you're going to call in sick. Dear listeners, Chris works for Evil Incorporated. He is one of the most cherished employees.
Look. I don't need this, okay? Honey, I don't need this.
Dear Lord, this could be the end. This could be the end of an era. What's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to fucking get to the killing blow and one of you is going to be standing over the other one watching the last embers of life spill out of them and one of you is going to go, Martha? Martha? But my mum's called Martha too.
No! Do not compare us to that man. I will not say that man's name.
Wow. Oh shit, mood lighting is on, listeners.
Ooh. Condition red.
Wait, I gotta change the color. Oh god, my dice tray is so dark right now.
We were wondering if we need to like roll first, see if the other characters get involved, i.e. Maud, Aristobulus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware of what's happening with them, so I can account for them, but you're kind of tied up in your own...
It's tough for AJ to play them because he doesn't want to be like... He kind of doesn't want to step on the moment too much.
Yeah, I'm happy to say, like, they're in a different room somewhere or something like that.
It's okay. I've got half an idea what's going on. Last we left off with our intrepid adventurers, they had started to deal with the aftermath of the wedding massacre. Tati and Harash, having come round on the floor of the village hall, surrounded by dead and dying people, having been poisoned by their own hand, Belsiar slowly coming to a reality, realizing that Harash was going postal, if you will, swinging his morning star, killing the innocent. Belsiar was the man of the moment, or the croc of the moment, if you will, and stood up to him, facing down his friend one-on-one. As we watched Tati trying to pick a side, trying to call Jerry at Evil Incorporated and managing to pocket dial him in the middle of date night. And as we left our adventurers, Tati finally deciding that matters had to be taken into his own hands, firing an arrow and piercing his friend Harash. And the very final words of the last episode came from old Natty, who informed Belsiar that the poisoning was not a freak matter, but in fact the work of the hands of Harash and Tati. All three of our intrepid adventurers staring at each other in this triangle of terror. And that is where we will pick up this week's episode.
Yeah! Is it Belsiar in the initiative now?
Belsiar is top of the initiative, yes, because we're still in combat. Natty is top of the initiative. She just takes out two nunchucks and just straightens her posture. She's like, Natty scuttles off into the...
Natty, famously a hybrid of Baba Yaga and Daredevil. fully...
What?
You promised to split me in half.
Oh, God, listeners. Chris Neal's words have been living rent-free in my head for the last week or two, listeners, about.
They always do, baby.
Right, go on, Belsiar. Have at it.
This is a calamitous, unfortuitous, dexterous turn of events.
Someone spent his drinks break reading a dictionary.
I turn to Tati and I say, I shout, Tati, is this true?
Tati is going to say, look, I have a drinking problem.
What?
I did do it. It was like trailer park drunk me. Not like cool sipping martinis at happy hour drunk. I was like trailer park trash drunk.
Oh, we've all been there. We've had a few too many and decided to slaughter an entire wedding.
Yeah. So you get it.
You've turned into the very thing you wanted to destroy. Captain, what's his name?
I've not turned into him. I've just replaced. I replaced Skull with Harash at a wedding and a punch bowl and some poison and an old dick obsessed woman called Natty. It's bad. Yeah, I know it's bad.
I thought you were cool, Tati. I thought you were the little guy who would always you want to say and bring us home at the end of an episode.
I know. I watch a lot of Scrubs, okay? I'm good at doing the voiceover at the end of an episode. That doesn't make me a good person. But I'm not the one that's trying to kill the remaining wedding guests right now.
Belsiar realizes that he's once again mistaken the ability to sum up events at the end of an episode succinctly for some kind of leadership and moral fortitude. Feels like he blames himself in a way for putting that ahead of him, his own direction in life. And he's going to blast a fireball at Tati.
Before you do that, I get to react to you since you're doing a spell within 5 feet of me.
Since you're casting a spell! He's got Mage Slayer!
Oh shit, listeners.
Do it, do it, do it!
Shit.
Here we go. 16 to hit.
Beats it.
11 damage.
Oh god.
Belsiar, so focused are you in rage and disbelief attempting to cast a fireball at Tati. You miss the Morningstar that crunches into your elbow as a numb pain tingles all the way up your arm. I presume you still release the fireball.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to... I don't think I can change it now either, can I? Because I'm guessing I've already...
No, I'd say you're locked in on that course as a DM.
Yeah. Because that's the moment when I realized the real enemy is Hanash, but it's too late.
Because is Stinking Cloud a concentration spell? So the Mage Slayer feat, when you damage a creature that is concentrating on a spell, that creature has disadvantage on the saving throw it makes to maintain its concentration. So if you roll a constitution saving throw...
Look at us helping each other out with the rules, listeners. Aren't we a modern progressive bunch?
How much damage did you do, Hanash, on that attack?
That was 11, was it?
So I think it's DC 10, but you do have disadvantage. Rules, everybody!
Crunchy.
Okay, so that's us. I've rolled a 7. So the cloud goes away.
With a wet farting noise, the roiling vortice, the miasma, if you will, of the stench just fizzles and trickles down into a little spinning wisp as it just vanishes. As Hanash, you look slightly stunned. And in that moment, brought back to reality as you follow through, discharging your wand.
Above the table talk, I know we said we weren't going to bring in the other two, but Belshar's getting a bit ganged up on now. Or might do. I'm wondering if it's up to you.
We can bring in, maybe the youth pastor can come in on my side.
If I could just get a healer, that'd be tight. If I could just have the cleric.
Yeah, and I don't mean Aegis playing. I don't, maybe Matt could like play one of them or something like that. But yeah, I feel like
I'm not going to physically attack Belsia, okay, but cool. I am going to steal the youth pastor from him and get him to heal me. Even though he's definitely not a cleric in that way, he's not a capital C cleric. I'm just going to be like, hey, come over here and help me, and then I'm just going to hold him in front of me.
Now, I'm aware of what the other characters are doing, and I am making rolls for them, so don't you worry.
Sorry.
Right now, I do know what is happening with the other characters.
Okay, so, Belziar, you cast Fireball.
Yes,
you?
At you. which is a...
All right, let's not get... okay.
I like the old thing about... I was reading about this, like, should you let players kill each other? And the answer is like, players, never. Player characters, maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's weird when you feel that separation so much. I need to make a dexterity
14 saving throw.
Come on, please. Oh, thank God. That's a 16.
So you only take half damage.
The 6 and the 9 have, like, the line underneath them, and for a second I thought it was the 6, but it was the 9. That was... Oh, my God.
Because this is a special occasion, I'm going to roll 96.
Are you casting it at 4th level? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Listeners, this could be the end of someone.
I'm going to fucking die.
13. Oh, you got 3 ones. Lucky you. So 13, 14, 15, 16.
What the fuck?
16. 26. 31. So you take half 31. So 15 damage.
You lucky Kentucky. Once again, you look over as you see Tati being roasted alive. It's almost becoming like habit now, as his scars were only just healing over from the dragon fire, as they once again, he starts melting like a wax candle. You lift up to feel your face, Tati, as part of your skin peels away, and you look down in your hand, realizing you're holding your eyebrow.
Just the same old shit. I do bad things, and I get burnt. Felt much more heroic fighting a dragon than a fireball being thrown at me. by Belsia.
So it's now Nash's turn. Your big green menace, what are you doing?
I don't know. So I'm kind of like, Belsia is right here, but I'm also like, that fucker shot me with an arrow, even though he poisoned everyone. What the fuck's that about? How far away is Tati from me?
You're all within about 15 feet in a triangle of each other currently. Imagine the Spider-Man gif.
Tati's getting a blunderbuss to the face, then.
Fuck!
Oh, no. Only 11 to hit. Well, I'm guessing I didn't do it.
Once again, negligently discharging his blunderbuss in the most Hanash way possible, you all duck as you just hear bits of plaster rain down from the roof of the ceiling of the church hall. As you look up, it had that really shit 1980s Artex stipple on it, as there's now just a massive hole in the middle of it, as a pair of white doves fly out of the loft in a John Woo-esque fashion and just fly through the middle of your fight.
Rutger Hauer stands up from behind the toppled drum kit, completely naked, and says, like tears and rain.
I don't want to get sued by Rutger Hauer. No. Right. The Hauer estate can fuck off.
So you missed. Don't you get a second attack?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just waiting for.
We're just waiting to stop talking about Rutger Hauer's penis. Right. Go on. Have at it.
I just wanted to get the Rutger Hauer thing in. That's all I wanted.
That's fine.
I go, I'm frustrated that I miss Tati. Ah! And I just swing my Morningstar up at, like, Belsia's chin.
You must all be standing really close to each other. If you're swinging blunderbusses, you must be even closer than I imagined. You've just tried to shoot someone at point-blank range with a blunderbuss.
No, you said he was 50 feet away.
Yeah, that's not point blank. That's fine.
If you're still in range of your blunderbuss.
Can't all have ice knives and fireballs.
Who are you swinging your morning star at, Hanash?
I'm swinging at Belsia.
Oh, okay. Spreading the love.
So I went for Tati and I missed him. I was like, ah! And yeah, out of anger, yeah. I then like went to hit Belsia.
Decided to take it out on Belsia.
8 to hit. No, sorry, 8 damage.
8 damage.
24 to hit.
You got 24 to hit. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, oof. Not looking good for Belsia.
Yeah, I can see all of your health in real time. Belsia is not looking healthy, as you see one arm practically hanging limp at the elbow and part of his rib cage crushed by a morning star. It is now Tati's turn. You look at the crocodile, Tati, and you can see he is in trouble.
I'm going to fuck.
You're going to fuck.
Okay. I'm going to fuck.
Natty walks back in and says, hello. Did you call me?
Now it's a party.
Sorry. Go.
Okay. I can see that Belsia looks wounded.
Yeah.
Badly wounded.
Yeah. You don't even need to make any kind of perception check to see that your friend is in trouble.
I'm going to fire another shot at Hanash. I will use my bonus action to give me advantage with steady aim. And I will attempt. No, it would feel cheap if I went for non-lethal damage now. We did talk about this a little bit during the break. I'm not just like saying it now. At the point where it looks like Belsia is looking hurt. I just need to make Hanash not be a problem anymore and then try and get out of this situation. I'm going to roll my attack with advantage.
I'm within 5 feet as well, so I'm guessing you get sneak attack damage on me. I mean, within 5 feet of Belsia.
If I didn't give myself advantage anyway, because advantage gives you sneak attack as well, but I know you've got that high fucking armor class. I don't know what it is, but I know it's high, and I don't like it. I gotta roll high.
As Hanash, you look at the arrow sticking out of your armpit and you realize it was an explosive arrow and the fuse is nearly all the way burned down. Green mist.
I was tempted to use the explosive arrow before Belciar looked really wounded because it can like push people away. So I was tempted to use it. I did get a natural 20.
What? You got a natural 20?
Oh, shit.
Right. Come on, then. Oh, God. Listeners, I have to find a really epic soundtrack for this now.
I hate to figure out how many dice I'm rolling. So 33 damage altogether.
Holy shit.
Okay. So that would drop me to 0, and I'm going to use my relentless endurance to bring me back up to 1.
As Tati, you see an arrow go clean through the throat of Hanash. Hanash, you grabbing onto your throat, green slick blood pumping between your fingers as you collapse to the floor, stabilizing yourself on 1 health point as you just hack up blood. We spin back round, listeners, to Belciar's turn.
Oh, God.
Unless Tati had any bonus actions he wanted to use. Sorry, I cut you a bit short.
No, I used my bonus action to give myself advantage on my attack.
You did, steady aim. Yeah, sorry, you did.
And I don't, I think because of that, I can't move this turn. So, I'm good.
Can I say something to Belciar before he takes his action?
Yeah, for the rule of cool. Why not? Is it die, motherfucker?
Is it going to make me cry?
Take a shot at the king. You better not miss.
God.
I might put some heartbeat music in here. I might slow this down and just put a doof, 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 doof.
Could we do another take where you try and make yourself sound a little bit more like a character from The Wire?
Have as many takes as you like. I can edit anything together.
I was happy with that take.
Oh. No. He got it in one.
Maybe I'll do some more in the booth later.
He's a pro, listeners. By the booth, you mean your toilet. Using an iPhone. What are you doing, Belciar? Everything slows down, Max Payne style.
Yeah, it's awkward when two friends are within like one punch of killing each other.
Oh my God, it's like Rocky.
That's it.
One of you would do much better in hand to hand combat than the other.
Yes, this is very evident. Belciar, at some point your 6 seconds are going to run out, and Hanash is just going to stand up and do something.
Battered and bloodied, I'm going to grab Hanash by the neck and just try to choke him and just be like, I thought you were cool. I thought you were my friend. I don't know what that would be.
I think it's about an unarmed attack. I mean, if you run out of breath, you can survive for a number of rounds equal to your constitution modifier. So you will have to hold him.
Don't look at Hanash's constitution modifier. Don't do it. It'll only make things more complicated.
Are you trying to choke the breath out of him or like crush his windpipe? What are you trying to do?
I don't know what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Make me an unarmed strike at this point, if that really is your intention.
Unarmed strike.
But he has got quite a high armor modifier.
Let's see. I think it's down to the dice. The dice will decide. Profoundly mediocre 14.
Nah, mate.
No. Look at his fucking face.
I don't know what to tell you.
Maggie has probably turned into Jerry at this point. He's just like, yes.
Yes. I'm enjoying this episode so much.
You've got a bonus action, Belciar.
Bonus action.
Can beg for mercy with it if you want.
Jesus. This might be the last bonus action I ever get. Can I call for Vicato?
This is how it goes down. Belsiar, you look at Hanash and you see he's gagging and choking, an arrow running clean through his neck as green blood filters between his hands. You go and grab onto his neck, but slow to react, torn by your own conscience, you try and choke him out as you squeeze and squeeze and squeeze at Hanash's bleeding neck, green blood bubbling between your scaly fingers as you squeeze and squeeze and squeeze as you see the life twinkling out of Hanash's eyes. From depths of strength, you feel Hanash's hands grab onto yours and pull your hands away from his throat and throw them to one side as Hanash, who was on the floor, stands up in front of you as you now see the towering form of the angry half-orc with one health point and an arrow clean through his neck. You have one call, which is to Pecato, who just comes tumbling out from behind a pile of bodies. You see Pecato has picked up a fork and is just going to charge at Hanash with everything he's got and is going to make an unarmed attack. Well, an armed attack with a fork from Pecato at Hanash. I'm rolling. Dirty 20.
No.
Oh, no, meets it, yeah.
Meets it, as you see the fork slam into the side of Hanash's head. The fork embedded tongs deep into the side of Hanash's head. The feral baked potato fully, like, rage punching with his little, like, starchy hands as Hanash just slowly falls backwards, his one health point expended, with a fork sticking out of the side of his green head. Belsiar, you look across at Tati. Tati, you look at Belsiar. Both of you look across at the twitching form you see. Hanash is having some sort of spasm with a fork sticking out of his forehead. The feral baked potato is still leaping up and down on his chest, just punching him.
Are we still in initiative?
Yeah. It's your turn, Tati.
Okay. Belsiar's still up, isn't he?
Barely. Belsiar's propped himself up. Belsiar is in a bad way, and quite visibly in a bad way. You can see blood gushing out of wounds on him. Belsiar's barely holding himself upright as Hanash is lying on the floor, twitching at zero health points with a fork sticking out of his forehead as you look from one to the other, as the small potato is just gut-punching the lifeless body of the half-orc.
I imagine that there's like a bar next to us in the chapel, even if it's like a just like a temporary one. Tati's gonna walk over to the bar, kind of turn his face away from Belsiar. He's going to take out a healing potion and just put it on the bar and then turn around and look at Belsiar and say, "I'm sorry." And then I'm going to leave. I'm just going to walk out the chapel. You know, using my movement, should I say? I only have 25 feet of movement.
Yeah, all right. For the sake of narrative, I think it's cool.
Try and walk out the chapel. I'll probably whistle for Barbara to come with me.
You hear a commotion outside. Barbara. You hear her howling. Okay, you're out of the scene now, Tati. Pregnant pause.
It's no longer a cool dramatic exit. It's me running towards Barbara.
Well, Belsiar, as you look down at the twitching form of Hanash with a fork sticking out of his forehead, you look around the room at all the corpses and bodies, maybe one or two grieving people who would not leave their dying friends, lovers, relatives, who stayed despite the fight, despite the cloud, despite the ice knife, despite the fireball. You look around at the carnage, the death, the misery, the sadness, the tears. You look at the crumpled corpses of people that Hanash had bashed and smashed, you know, broken forms of people that he had killed with his Morning Star. As you look back down at his twitching body with a fork sticking out of its forehead, and you look over slowly at the bar, the singular healing potion standing in stark contrast to the spilled cups and bottles and plates.
I just look down at Hanash and I say, that's what happens to people who cross me. No.
Belsail says, you come for the king, you best not miss.
I say, can't think of any pithy The Wire quotes.
This is the most Belsiar thing ever, as he stands over the dying form of his friend for many years. He's like,
Six Emperor Tyrannus.
You've really forked me off.
Yes. That classic line from The Wire, spoken by Idris Elba. You've really forked me off. Now I'm going to kill you.
So we come to a fork in the road. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Belsiar, while all of this is going on, whilst you're trying to think of something pithy, you think back through a myriad of different things, through the otters, through Cato.
The children's birthday party where Hanash and I first met.
Yeah, through the children's birthday party. Yeah, Belsiar, as you stand there, you think back through all the myriad of things. The otter, the family of otters that you had, that you killed. Cato, who's recently died. Al Gurundi, the lady. Crocoborn in the prison, who you shivved to death. In the oubliette. You see them all in turn as you look down at Hanash. The dead form of, well, the certainly unconscious at the moment form.
He was always safe because he was only your friend, not your lover.
I mean, presumably, Hanash needs to start making death saving throws, unless Belsiar is going to actually do something.
Like, finish the job. Well, I say, half in character, half above the table talk, do you feel you have earned a worthy death? For the saga of Hanash need not yet be complete.
Now there's your Wire quote.
I don't think I can let go of this rage.
Yeah, you make a death saving throw, Hanash.
Sure.
Just roll a d20.
Failed first one.
You failed the first one. Okay, Belsiar, back to you as you watch the body twitch.
Gosh. I think, because I'm kind of, from my perspective, this has been an epic death with Paqueta flying in with a fork at the last second. So I'm kind of like, let him die. But this is not my character, so I think in the end it's down to Raggy.
I'm happy to die.
You're happy to die. Okay. I mean, we can always say you came back as a ghost.
I could just pick up like a random NPC for like the remaining part of the campaign if such a thing is possible now with Tati walking into the sunset anyway.
Let's be honest, listeners. Mr. Rag can play Paqueta.
If Raggy doesn't end up playing whichever one of PB and Jelly didn't end up dying.
Oh my god.
It has to be very deferential to Belsiar for the rest of the campaign.
This is so cool!
It's either that or you play like Barbara or something.
So, what are you doing, Belsiar?
I feel really bad doing this, but I bend down and I snap Panash's neck and his spirit flies into the air and then flies into PB and OJ.
Okay. Can you make me a pure strength check, please?
Yeah. It'd be hilarious if this fails. I got a dirty 20.
A dirty 20. You hover over the body. You're so conflicted, Belsiar. You are really torn about what you have to do as you stamp on his neck.
Oh, God.
And you look down. You can still see the spirit of Hanash in it. Just in his eyes, you can see he's saying to you, stop trying to kill me and just kill me. As with one last blow, you find the energy and crunch down on his neck as it breaks at an angle, as you just see the light go out of Hanash's eyes.
Oh, God.
As you watch him slowly drift away.
What have I done?
You've killed another person who you love, Belciar. It's the most in-character thing you've ever done.
In the end, I have killed the one I love. Does Hanash get any final words?
Is the next episode just going to be like a... what is it now? Is it going to be like a funeral for Hanash? Or like, is it going to be like all us like talking about our favourite parts of like Hanash's life or something?
We're going to have a special show to talk about Hanash. Oh, wow. I'm not often lost for words, but I'm almost lost for words, listeners, as this is the end of a journey. I can't believe, like, Hanash has been around longer than the podcast has, just for the listeners. Like, we've been playing with that character for a good year and a bit before the podcast. So just imagine how long Hanash has been around and immortalized. And that was a big moment. As much as we have fun, as much as we laugh, that is also, I think in a way, it's the ending Hanash would have wanted. He lived by anger and violence and rage and spontaneity. I'm just sad he didn't get to fling poo one more time.
I was thinking, I guess maybe like his last thing will be like his corpse shitting itself as it dies.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say he died doing what he loved, which was screaming, "For Jerry!" But what he really loved was having a shit. We would be remiss if we didn't say that he definitely shits himself when he dies.
He definitely shits himself. As you step backwards in shock, Belciar, your foot lands in a pile of something warm and creamy as you look down.
What a stinking cloud, am I right? Am I right?
We're going to pan out from Belciar standing over the dead form of Hanash. As Tati, you make your way outside, you hear now the commotion that Barbara was making. As you look over, you see Barbara is standing over. There's a pile of people. As you get closer, you see the naked, exposed feet of Aristobulus lying flat. As you look over, as you get closer, you see Maud is pumping the chest of Aristobulus and stabilizing him.
Oh, no.
You see Maud has thrown all kinds of potions and lotions down his throat. As you see Aristobulus is stabilizing, you see blood is down his chin as he's been stabilized. I've been rolling for them this whole time.
Wow.
You see Barbara is licking the side of Aristobulus's face as Aristobulus is like, "It's not my time. They're not ready for me yet." You see Maud is actually, normally Maud's incredibly grumpy as she's found a moment's compassion to rescue the perverted old priest. That could have gone another way, Tati. Even if you had saved both of your friends, you might well have been responsible for the death of another. As you see, Aristobulus is stabilized and Barbara runs over to you. The front of her snout, normally white, is darkened red through Aristobulus's blood. As you turn, and off in the distance, Tati, you see a singular figure just standing and staring at you, a sad look on her face. As you see toad flaps just staring at you.
Tati's going to turn to Barbara and using speak with animals. I'm just going to say, we have to leave them behind, at least for now. We have to go.
As Barbara looks at you, she's like, "What do you mean? These are my friends.
I did something bad. I did something bad.
Yeah.
It's not on you. If you want to stay with them, I wouldn't blame you. But I have to go. At least for a little while.
Where you go, I go. That's the deal."
Gonna, like, kneel down a little bit. Probably not like a full kneel because I'm tiny and Barbara is a giant direwolf. But I'm just going to like kneel down and just give her like chin scratches and just like put my forehead against hers. I'm just going to stand up and go.
As you just walk off, you see Toadflap stands. She has no words for you. She knows what you did. As she almost looks like she wants to say something, but as you walk past her in silence, you head off into the shrubland on the edge of the village with Barbara in tow, leaving behind your friends. Listeners, that is where we are going to leave this week's episode. I'm speechless. Fuck. Finally, nearly 120 episodes later, we discovered storytelling. This is mental.
Mucho intenso, listeners.
As Chris Neal would say.
Ah!
I really enjoyed that.
Mr. Rag, I'm so sorry. I'm kind of not sorry because that was the epic conclusion to a beautiful story for Hanash, but fuck.
Yeah, no, I think Kanash deserved it for what he did. I'm glad he got some penance.
Needless to say, listeners, this is not the end of Chris Rag. This is merely the conclusion of a beautiful story of Hanash. This isn't some sort of hostile coup or takeover. We haven't ousted Chris Rag from the group.
Carry on the Civil War and MCU references. This is like the credits at the end of the like random Marvel movies where it's just like XYZ character will return at some point. But we're like Chris Rag will return next week. Character TBD.
I'm going to have to start on some accent work.
Speaking of Red Dead, I think you could just do a son of Hanash just showing up to continue his father's legacy.
With the son becoming to kill you then?
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Oh God, I've actually got the tingles. This is crazy. Right. There you go. That's about all we're going to achieve for this week. I don't know whether to be proud of us, sad for us, disgusted, happy. I don't know. I feel kind of everything all at once.
You know, as much as we keep confirming with Chris Rack that he was happy for us to do this, again, I want to make sure that he's happy for us to...
Yeah, we can retcon this very easily.
It's easy. It's just like, oh, that wasn't Hanash, that was just Natty. And also, we have a wish. Yeah, we could always just use that. But also, I'm very happy with how we dealt with this.
Yeah, I'm happy. I think it was the right thing story-wise. Yeah, happy.
We're so mature, and I don't like it. Why are we being so mature about this? No, you're right, you're right. You're 100% right, and I can't follow your logic.
Farts, boobies, butt cracks!
Cheers.
Oh, God.
Jizz.
Name of the episode.
Like people are discussing in hundreds of years' time when they're saying what they really, when they really broke new ground with the death of Hanash in the episode. Jizz.
Let's be honest, this is the new Hamlet. Someone on a holodeck on a space station far, far away in a galaxy in about 10,000 years' time is going to be like playing this episode out.
How did you find this episode? How did you do it? And also why?
I was Googling for porn and I typed in jizz and it came up.
We get those SEO keywords, baby!
There you go. We've taken all the severity out. We've removed the sting from the end of the episode by making this puerile. All right. With all the respect that it deserves, I'm going to say, before we let you go, listeners, we just want to say a massive thank you for hanging with us for however many years it's taken us to finally kill Hanash. And, you know, thank you for tuning in for another dollop of fun-packed fantasy fuck nuggetry. Seeing as you made it this far, why not consider hitting that subscribe button and never miss another episode again? Better yet, if you're feeling fruity, why not give us a 5-star review? What more do we have to do to get a 5-star review out of you other than to kill a beloved character? If this doesn't deserve a 5-star review, nothing we ever do will. We didn't get a 5-star review for Belciar losing his virginity. So what should we expect? Right. If you fancy chatting to us about anything you've heard over the course of this episode, you can come hit us up on the platform called X. We're more than happy to field any questions you got. Or if you want to hold Mr. Neil accountable for his actions, come find him on Instagram where he looks after all of that and you can chat to him about that. There's just time to say a huge goodbye from... I can't bring myself to do it. Tatty Bojangles, Mr. Chris Neil. Goodbye as you walk into the distance.
Stay tipsy and make sure not to forget your animal companions. Also, maybe people that have life debts to you, but that's not quite as important as your animal companion.
It's a massive goodbye from a man who will stab you in the back, the front, the side. He will literally do whatever it takes to be your friend. Mr. Matt Durant.
You always kill the ones you love.
That's true. And I don't want to do this. It's a massive goodbye from Mr. Chris Ragg.
Let us know in the comments, like, did you want Hunash to die? Are you sad at his demise? Hit us up.
Never seen anyone take their own death so well.
It's a goodbye for the last time from Hunash, but not the last time from me. Love you.
I can't cope.
Stay tipsy.
Why did it take a character death to turn Chris Ragg into a fucking talk show host?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, listeners, we're all off to make some sort of clip show about the best times of Hunash. Hopefully we'll see you back here soon. Have yourself an amazing week. And remember...
See? It was bad. We could all say that.
Can we do better?
Do editing. Make better.
We could try. Should we try for one more?
One more. I'll count us down.
All right.
Three.
Run the track.
Two. One.
Stay.
Perfect.
That was bad.
It's the end. You can't stay here. You got to go home. We've got to clear up the church hall. Otherwise, we're not going to get our cleaning deposit back. All right. You get the last words, Mr. Rag.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.